This is Mary Sharon conducting an interview with Emma Collins at the Lakeshore Inn Nursing Home in Waseca. The date is November 10th, 1979. Saying that you lived in New Ulm originally?
I went to school there and graduated there. And then I taught school several years, and then I got married.
In New Ulm, you taught school?
Yes, got married there. Mm-hmm. And then in about 3 years, we came to Waseca. My son, my brother-in-law, he was an engineer on the road. He talked my husband into, oh, come on over, they're hiring men. Come on and take some student trips. I think you'll like it.
What is a student trip?
Well, they have to make a few trips with the local guys that are working on a job too, so they, he can see like this orientation and anything.
Learn how to do it. Sorry.
And so then he was okay and he went to work, which of course I wasn't so happy of. I was more, used to going about and it tied you down, because those days, you know, they had hand firing engines and shovel coal, my goodness, tons and tons of it.
Yeah.
And they'd come home so tired and they wouldn't want to go anywhere or do anything.
Yeah. What year did your husband start with the railroad then?
Yeah, I haven't figured it out. He's been dead about 18 years and he was about 4 years retired, and he worked on the railroad 43 years.
Yeah, well, that gives us a good idea.
It's such a long lingo to try to figure out.
What was his job?
He was a fireman, and then after they worked several years, they had to go to Chicago to a company maintained school to learn their engineering and their book of rules and all of that. And then the men went. And if they passed, of course, then they were bona fide workers.
Yeah.
And
did you go with to Chicago then?
Oh no, no, you couldn't, because it was really intensive.
Oh.
Few of them would fail, but not too many. They were kind of, they had their own place where they had to stay and everything. They didn't, like I say, the company maintained the school, so they saw to it that they stayed there and made use of it.
Yeah.
And then they came back. In them days, there were those little short line jobs, which of course the younger men got. The older, with more seniority, would kind of shove off on the others that they didn't like so well. And then we sat them alone. It was all right as long as he didn't have a family, but after that, you were kind of tied down. And I always did think that, I never did like Waseca when I first came here. I never did. I always thought it was the most antisocial place I've ever been at.
Really?
And it took many years before it seemed as if they opened up that you could figure you were a native. But
was it kind of, you're saying it was kind of clicky
just
then?
Just standoffish.
Yeah.
They didn't just bother with you.
Was it at that time considered a real railroad town? The biggest industry was the railroad.
Yeah.
Well, then being your husband was in the railroad, that helped a little bit to get in.
Helped them to stay off of the I don't know what there was about it. It just seemed as if they thought real old people, they were nothing.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. But after a while, it got so, I couldn't see anything wrong. There never was any rough stuff or anything else like that in the town or anything that was the fault of the railroad people.
Yeah.
Of course, they had a few accidents around. My husband was in one accident at Pasota where the engine turned over, and he was pretty well scalded at that time.
Oh, no.
But he got over it. His engineer, I think, was, his name was Otto from Mankato.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when they still had the hand fires.
Yeah.
And all those little things. And then the outside jobs were usually week jobs, a weekend home. And you know, the older, with their seniority, they wouldn't fit in those kind of jobs, of course not. The youngest guy always had to go. But then, it was a good living, that's for sure.
So he would be out sometimes for a whole week at a
time? Oh yes, sometimes a whole week, like the short line from Tracy to Watertown, that was always 6 days. Come home, I said all they did was get their clothes clean and wash, take a bath and eat and go again.
What was it like then to be raising kids?
Yeah, you were just stuck there. Of course, I had a lot of hobbies. I did a lot of knitting and crocheting and sewing, and I just kind of concentrated on sewing, and I got so that everybody was bringing their sewing down to me. We got to be clicky too with the railroad people.
Yeah.
And we'd spend the day, whole day together. One would call the other one in the morning early, come on, spend the day, and then next day, if the men weren't home, we'd go to somebody else's house.
Uh-huh.
And we accomplished a lot of work that way though too, because everybody was doing something.
Uh-huh.
And
when you were raising the kids and you had to make certain decisions about things, did you save those decisions till your husband got home, or did you have to make them as it went along?
I didn't get them.
When you were raising your kids and had to be making decisions about certain things, did you just go ahead and make those decisions?
Oh, yes.
You didn't wait for him?
I took care of the business end and everything. He just didn't want to bother.
Oh.
He said, if he'd had a dime in his pocket, he wasn't broke, you know. He was that type. Never learned the value of money.
Yeah, and you had to take care of it.
And so that way you have to, somebody had to save a little and do a little.
Mm-hmm.
But as time went on, kids got bigger and everything seemed to fall in line better. And then the diesels came on. Then, of course, it was better. But then we had that awful depression. Oh, yeah, pretty near 5-6 years of it. That was terrible.
Did your husband work through that?
No, he was laid off. Just the last year, they call him once in a while, yeah, but that was no good. Then if he made one trip there, it cost him more than what he could make on that trip. And I'd say, what do you go out there for? Why don't you work at the factory on your job and let somebody else go out on that? But I says, once a railroad man, always a railroad man. That's their job.
It was a way of life for him.
Yeah, it is. It begins to be. So then he always said when he was old enough, he was going to retire. And the guys all said, oh, you are going to be like the rest of them, work till you're 70. He says, no, I won't. And he didn't. He retired when he was 65. At that time, 65 was a retiring age, and he retired, and I'm very happy he did, because he only lived 4 years after that.
Yeah. Did you spend some good leisurely time during that?
Yes. And so then that way it was a great help too. And then by that time, of course, the wages had gone up and you were really sitting on top of the world.
Before you mentioned that it got better when the diesels came, do you want to explain why that happened?
Ma'am?
Before you said it got better when the diesels came, do you want to explain why did it get better?
Well, it seems they could handle more cars or something, but they only needed one man on the diesel, where they had two on the firemen, of course. They couldn't get accustomed to that at first. Think of one man handling those diesels, you know, but they finally liked, and of course they paid better wages. And it used to be the oddest thing. I used to say, I can't understand these railroad men. When a group of them went together, all they could talk about was their engines, and it was always a she. I have never heard any one of them ever say anything else but she.
For the engine?
The engine. Always.
Did they give them names?
Oh, Oh, they had numbers or letters for the different things, but so it was just a sheet. Oh, sometimes the names they called them weren't just so a little spicy.
Yeah.
It was a bad time for us when we had more children that we had to take care of them, and you had to see that everything was all right, and you had to discipline them. Sometimes when they were home, and I'd say, "Why don't you take care of that kid?" He says, "What do you want him to hate me?" I says, "Sure. What do you think I am doing around here?"
Yeah. The little time he was home, he didn't want to be doing that.
No,
type
he
of thing.
Didn't. He wouldn't lift his hand to do anything like that.
Did the kids all really like his job?
Yeah, then my two oldest boys, they went on the railroad too.
How long have they been with the railroad?
Well, they're both pretty, well, Gerald is eligible to retire right now. I told him the other day, why don't you get off? Because Bud would be next, and I said, then Bud, yeah, he said, I was big brother, he says, why don't you stay home and let me finish up? Because he's pretty near due to. But Gerald, he could retire right now. But he's the one that hasn't got a family, so he could retire. So I said to him the other day, I says, why don't you retire? Because I can make more money working. I said, yeah, but think, I says, all the money that you have to work for that you don't get anything out of when you figure that much would be your retirement. Heck, he says, I can still live on what I make. Oh, they're really something.
Did you use the passenger train much yourself?
Yeah.
Did you use the passenger train much yourself? Did you go on many trips?
Oh, after the children grown up, see, they went to World War II then. I had all four boys in service for 5 years. And we did, there's very few states in the Union that we didn't visit at some time or another.
On the train?
My husband liked it to go. Well, some on the train and some driving later on when the boys came back and they would drive. My husband, he never liked to drive. He had to see everything. So I wouldn't drive because I just figured if I did, I'd be just stuck. That was no good for me. I never did want to drive.
The trains were pretty pretty luxurious to travel on at one time, weren't they?
Oh, yes. They had sleepers and diners and everything on the big lines.
Were you on one of those ever?
Oh, yes. We went to California several times. They go from here to Omaha and then there you changed and then you went to Ogden, Utah and changed again and then went on to San Francisco.
Would you remember what that trip cost, the train fare?
Golly, I don't remember that. That was pass.
you were talking about how you were, those ladies that you knew, mm-hmm. you'd get together for a day mm-hmm. and while the men were gone. Was there any housing pattern in Waseca? Did railroad people live in one part of Waseca or not?
No.
Were they spread out?
There were quite a few, more or less towards the southwest and the southeast end of town, but they were scattered hit and miss all over. Because there was quite a lot of the older men that were the leading citizens here that were the engineers at that time. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of a whole lot of them the other day, and I thought, oh boy, that big long lineup.
Can you remember some of the names?
Oh yeah, there was a Mr. Wyman and a Mr. Bullard, and Harry Reed, I think, was our oldest engineer at that time, and Chauncey Brink, and then there was the next group, they were Toos and Curry and so on, you know, they each more or less had a level of ages. Mm-hmm. But those other ones, the first I mentioned, they were really the older ones that we first knew when we came.
And these guys had quite a bit of status in Waseca.
Oh, yes, there's still some of their homes are there that their children's children are still having and know about. And some of the ladies, well, one, Mrs. Bullard, she was a resident here till she passed away. And I think seemed we all finally end up here, it seems. Years ago, it seemed that everybody took care of everybody at home. And now it's so different.
What do you think about that?
Well, I was telling my kids, listen, I said, I took care of my mother for 25 years and I buried her. I took care of your father. And when he was so sick, I said, I took care of him when he didn't want to go to the hospital. And I buried him. I never asked even for any of you to help me. I said, and here I sit. Of course, I shouldn't do that. That's not nice.
Well.
But sometimes you get kind of disgusted.
It certainly is changing.
But then they have to do what's best for their family, too. Because they have their bad times, too. Illness comes along, you know, and you have to be prepared.
Were there many social functionings in Waseca that the railroad
sponsored? Well, there was a lot of dances, stuff like that. And then little groups of card playing was quite a hobby, too, amongst them. I know we had one group that used to meet every Saturday, and we'd play cards till Sunday morning.
Really?
Yes. But outside of that, then after once we got cars and things, well, we'd go for rides and things like that. We did a lot of hunting and fishing, though, my husband and I.
Mm-hmm.
We liked that. But
around Waseca here, or?
Yeah. Out, his folks had a farm out southwest of town, and then they used to have one northwest of town before that, and we used to go out and hunt and fish. I don't know why I never did like fish.
Do you have any, do you remember any significant things about the Depression that you'd like to share?
Well, it was, we had to have coupons for everything, for your sugar, your meat, and everything. Of course, we had a foster daughter at the time, and
besides your own, you had a foster daughter?
And she was with us for 5 years, and her folks, they were country people. They had a large family, so where they couldn't help her in any way, they used to give me the extra coupons, which they never could use for themselves all. Like for sugar and meat, so that kind of helped a little bit with a few things, and otherwise it was kind of rough sometimes. I said, at least we always had enough to eat and a roof over us. That much we could eke out somewhere.
How did you manage that?
Well, I worked whenever I had a chance, and I did a lot of sewing. And even my husband worked. Do you know that during that time that he worked and got 25 cents an hour washing walls for the business people uptown, and then trying to work for the city, and they'd go out on this big truck with stones on it to sit on so it didn't all shake them to pieces. And that is when he first got sick. Oh, he caught such a cold that I thought he was going to be dead before long, but he kind of survived it, though. But 25 cents an hour. Of course, then when the factory, of course, that was only seasonal work, though. So you worked yourself to a frazzle in order to take in as many hours as you could on that, because that had to last you then when your slack season came. Then he became the engineer at the canning factory. So then that was better, a little better. Got $13 a week. And eight people living on that. And so then he then finally got, when the seasonal work was over with, he was the night watchman at the place. And there he got $13 a week. He survived.
Mm-hmm. And for you, you did sewing. Did you work out of the house at all during that time?
Oh, I worked at the factory whenever I had a chance or anything was open. I worked all the time. Then they had some government meats and things, vegetables, and during all that period we worked, all of us worked. The two oldest boys were at that time, then getting to the age where them days they didn't have these corn pickers and all of that. They picked their corn by hand, and those boys would have to go out and were lucky if they got a couple of good bushels of corn picked. But it all helped.
How long was he off the railroad then, during the Depression?
Before,
many years?
My husband was 43 years on the railroad.
And how many years was he off during the Depression? Wasn't he off?
Oh, at least 5 years off and on. There was several years in there when it was completely no work.
Were there still some people working for the railroad?
Oh, yes. Those older engineers, they all had their jobs. And some of them couldn't see why we wouldn't be just as well off as they are. I used to get in a little argument with a neighbor we had. He was an engineer. And I told him off a couple of times. I said, yeah, I said, but we don't ask anything of you, do we? I says, we work for what we're getting to. And it's a fact. We have a resident working here, or staying here now, that used to work in the roundhouse. He was a roundhouse foreman for over 40 years.
Who is that person?
Joe Fisher. I told him the other day, and he was quite interested.
Well, I'll talk with him, too.
Yeah, I think he could tell you a lot of things. He was a roundhouse foreman because, see, them days they had what they call a call boy, and he had to go and come to the house and tell the men what train they had to go out on at what time.
Oh, they came right to your house and did that?
Yeah, they had to come right to your house to give you the information, and he was the foreman at the roundhouse for longer than 43 years, a few more years. I was talking to him the other day, and he was real interested.
Well, that's good. I'll have to talk with him.
And he'd know a lot more about the working conditions.
Yeah.
And I didn't pay so much attention outside your own personal. You didn't,
yeah.
We just didn't have the time. But like I always said, everybody was happy because nobody had nothing. But once things began to pick up, things began to change a little too. Some then thought, you know, I don't know if they thought they were better than the rest of them or what, but they kind of broke up the groups.
What groups? These groups that had been interacting together? What groups were broken up?
Well, those that used to come together, little partying or little, everybody brings some little thing, you know, and they play little cards or dance around the house. And
how did that happen? That it got broken up?
Well, it got so a few of them would get maybe a trip or a week. If they got a trip a week, you could just barely make a living on it. And then they began to think they were just a little bit better than those that didn't. And pretty soon, but in the long run, I don't know, I thought our group was a very nice group.
Mm-hmm. Inside your group, was there people that were firemen and people that were engineers, or
well,
was more?
A few of them, yes, but not too many. The engine men, they were always a little different than the... I was always glad. I never did say to my husband, don't retire. What do you want to retire for? I says, whenever you want to retire, retire. But I'm glad I never did, because he only lived 4 years after that. He had cancer then, and he went so fast, 6 months. And I'd feel terrible guilty if I'd ever said don't. retire when he could have. So many of them worked till they were 70 and then their health was broken, and I couldn't see that. So I just decided that whenever he wants to retire, that'll be it. Well, that's why I always get after the boys. Jerry especially has no family, and she works most of the time. She don't seem to be able to be idle. She used to have the style shop here, and then they sold out, and I thought she would be having a lot of leisure. Well, it didn't last too long. She was at it again.
Do you have any special stories that you'd like to share? Any special stories about the railroad or about living in Waseca in those days?
I don't know. The only thing is they used to have a short line from New Ulm that went through St. Peter and Kasota and went to Burdett. That was then just like a depot, and then there they could transfer to the main line if they left from that any of those stations. And I was thinking the other day, whatever became of Burdett? There's no such a thing anymore for a long, long time. We drove that way one time, and I said to my husband, well, where was Burdett? Oh, come on, he said, that was before your time. I said, no, it wasn't. I couldn't remember that. Accidents and different things. Once in a while it was kind of tragic. So it...
Did that give you a lot of worry when your husband would be out?
Well, I did in the start, and then after a while I thought, well, why make myself go batty worrying when I got enough to worry about home taking care of this family?
Yeah, just kind of took it as it came.
And working, trying to do things. And I always did like to read, so the one half of the night I read, I still do that.
That's a good habit.
And I just love to read.
If you had it to do over again, would you want to be married to a railroad man?
Well, I don't think so.
No? Was it worth it?
I don't think so. The last fall before I got married, I worked at the newspaper office in New Ulm, and I enjoyed that so much and I liked it so well that for half of a cent I'd called everything off and kept working.
Now, what would be the biggest reasons why you wouldn't want to be married to a railroad man again?
Well, like I say, you were alone too much. There was no companionship, and then when they are on outside jobs and come home maybe once a week, well, by the time you got their clothes all fixed up to go again, and they'd have a bath, and but all they didn't do, cook a lot of stuff. Sometimes some of them, my husband wouldn't carry no lunches. That's one thing he refused to do. And I said that was just enough. I don't think I would consider it. But you never know.
Yeah. Might happen.
Pretty hard to look back and see where you went wrong.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to cut this off because we're getting to the end.